Got your Bibles, if you would, turn to the book of Genesis. Amen. Chapter number 13. And while you're turning there, I'm going to get Brother Asa to stand and testify for us one more time, son. Hallelujah. Amen. Book of Genesis, chapter number 13. Amen. We'll go and we'll just begin reading. I know right here, since we've been here on Sunday, I've only had like maybe one or two verses that I'd read to you. But I want to read just a little bit here to you tonight, if the Lord will help me. Amen. Book of Genesis, chapter number 13. We'll begin reading in verse number 1. Everybody there, say amen. Amen. The Bible says, amen. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and in silver and in gold. And he went on his journeyings from the south to Bethel unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also went with Abram and had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between thy herdmen and my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we are brethren. Is it not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me, and if thou would take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou would depart on the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered, amen, everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like unto the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. And Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tents toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Amen. Lord, be my help just for a little bit here tonight. Don't try to talk to us, if the Lord will help us. Amen. Lord, be dealing with me about this here today, and I really thought I might be preaching something else different, but it's one of those things that couldn't get past. I feel like the Lord wants to help us here tonight, help someone. And God, help me, I'm trying to preach to us on the choice you'll have to live with. The choice you'll have to live with. Stretch your hands this way one more time tonight and ask the Lord, will he anoint me and help me here tonight to preach his word? Y'all help us pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. Lord, we thank you and we praise you, God, for your goodness and your mercy, God, and all you are unto us. I ask you, Lord, here tonight, God, anoint me in my feeble attempt, God, of preaching here tonight. God, steady my thoughts, Lord, here tonight. Let me say nothing more and nothing less, God, than what you'd have to be said. Touch, Lord, and let every word that comes through my mouth, Lord, be, amen, for the edifying of the saints, God. Let these, amen, glean from the words, God, that you've given me, and help me, Lord, here tonight, to say what it is you'd have me to say. Give us a good season of prayer, and we'll give you all the praise, Lord, for all that's accomplished in these altars tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said amen. We find here tonight the reading of God's Word, familiar scripture reading. Amen. I want us to understand something here from the very beginning. Amen. There's a lot of verses that we read here tonight. We read, amen, how, amen, Abram, the Bible tells us many times in the Word of God where Abram, amen, built an altar there before the Lord before he ever made a decision on anything he was going to do. And then, but we never read there in the Word of God where Lot had built an altar, amen, there before he made this decision. Amen. Now, I know a lot of times we know how the story goes. And the Bible says that the herdmen, they were, amen, there were so many of them, they were getting upset there about it. Amen. So therefore, Abram said, amen, Lord, I'm going to leave it up to you, brother. He said, if you go to the right, I'm going to go to the left. You go to the left, I'm going to go to the right. Amen. A lot of us, if we ain't careful, we'll put Lot there in a bad place. Amen. But a lot of us, if we ain't careful, we've been guilty of doing the very same thing. Amen. That Lot is done. Amen. He got to looking around at everything that was around him. Amen. And he saw the well-watered plains there on Jordan. Amen. He saw the lush grass. He saw, amen, how it was going to, amen, help his herd and help his herdmen. Amen. So since he looked around there, amen, at the situation, he says, this looks like a great idea. Amen. I reckon there's no reason, amen, really to pray about it, because it just seems like it's all working out so well. Haven't any ever been that way before? Amen. But Lot there, he never built an altar before the Lord, and he pitched his tents there towards Sodom. Amen. And we read about the destruction and the demise that was there, amen, in Lot's family. Hallelujah. All because Lot, instead, amen, of praying and building an altar before the Lord, before he made a decision, amen, he looked around and he thought what was going to look the best for him, amen, with everything that looked right, amen, at that time, amen, he felt like there was no need to pray about it. Come on here now. It's going to be a little bit different here tonight, so y'all just bear on in and help me a little bit. Amen. I got to there thinking about it. And we read, amen, how Lot and his wife, and we know the story, where the angel of the Lord came by, amen, and the Bible says, amen, that they began to take Lot and his family and his wife there out of that town, of that wickedness that was in there, amen, and they gave them that ultimatum, amen, that when you leave this city, don't look back. Amen. I remember I just sit there thinking, amen, what it must have been like with Lot there and his daughters, his wife in his hand, amen, what it must have been like, amen, when Sister Lot, if you want to say it like that, amen, turned around and got a glance back, amen, of the place that she was going to be leaving, amen, and God, amen, turned her there into the pillar of salt, amen, and he lost his wife, amen, come on here now, and we read stories on, go on there, amen, in the life of Lot, and we'll read that even though Lot's daughters got out of that place, amen, that spirit that was there inside of that city, we never read, come on here now, but that spirit got away from them. Last time, next thing I remember about reading there, amen, in the Word of God about Lot's daughters, amen, they were getting daddy drunk and laying with him. Come on here now. Why? Because even though they were out of that place, amen, that spirit was there still inside of them. Amen. And I said all that just to say this. Bear with me to lay a little bit of foundation here tonight. I'm trying to preach to you a little bit. Amen. But all of that Lot could have went without. Amen. If he would have just built an altar, amen, when Abram said, if you go to the right, I'll go to the left. If he would have just sought the counsel of God, amen, to begin with, he would have saved himself a lot of trouble and a lot of heartache in his life. Amen. But Lot made some decisions in his life without consulting the master about it. And there were choices in Lot's life that he made that he had to live with for the rest of his life. And I tell us here tonight, there is not no person in this house here tonight. You cannot make a spiritual decision without first consulting the Lord about it. You can't even make a drastic decision without first seeking the face of God about that. Come on here. Why? Because there are some decisions that we make in our life that will actually change the course of history and our life forever. Amen. Can I say, I know there's times, amen, we get saved and the Lord helps us. Oh, help me, Lord, here tonight. We get saved, amen, and we're on our way to heaven. Amen. But there are some things in our life and some decisions that we make that no matter matter how bad we want to go back and fix it, there are some things and something, amen, things that we can do in our life, amen, that sorry isn't going to fix it every time. We read about David there when he sinned there with Bathsheba. Amen. That child was born there. Amen. Out of that adulterous act that he did. Amen. What happened there? Amen. A man of God came up to where David was and pointed his bony finger there inside of David's face. Told him, said, "Thou art the man." Amen. "The sword shall not depart from your house." Amen. And what do we read? Amen. When the Bible says, amen, that that little child was going to die. Amen. What happened? The Bible says that David went off to his room. And he fasted there for 3 days. He sought the Lord. He begged God, "Lord, I'm sorry. God, don't let my boy, don't let my child die, Lord." Amen. But what happened? The third day came by. Amen. And that child died. Amen. That lets us know that there are some choices that we make in our life. We can pray about it all we want to. We can fast about it all we want to. But after we make some decisions in our life, they will actually change the course of history in your life forever. Forever. I tell you here tonight, Lord, help me. I'm going to preach just a little bit on some decisions sometimes we make in our life. We don't realize, come on here, the things that are happening around us, how it's changing, amen, things around us in our lives. And then we get to looking at our children. We got to talking about last night how our kids need to see mama and daddy worship. Our kids need to see mom and daddy get in. Amen. Can I tell you, we got to get to that place. Us as daddies, amen, our children, I understand we need to provide for our families. Amen. Amen. I understand we've got things that we got to do for our family. Amen. But we got to understand, amen, that more than what our children need money in our pocket. Come on here now. Amen. They need to spend time with daddy. Can you say amen, somebody? Amen. Our children need the influence of godly men and women in their life. Amen. More than what your children need. Amen. A new gizmo or a gadget or an iPod or a new device. Amen. They need to have a godly influence there under the home that they sleep in at night, more than just what we are inside the house of God. Help me, Lord, here tonight. They need to see the same daddy, amen, there at the house as what they do in the house of God. Hallelujah. They need to see the same mama there at the house, amen, as they do inside of the house of God. Come on here. Why? Because if we don't teach them the things of the Lord, there's a world outside the stained glass windows of the church, amen, that's going to teach them, amen, the things of the world. Come on here now. I'll tell you something. Our kids are smarter than what we give them credit for. Come on here. Slow it on down just a little bit here tonight. Amen. But can I tell us, but our kids know, amen, when daddy's prayed up and when daddy ain't prayed up. Hallelujah. Amen. My youngins know, amen, when daddy's got a hold of it, and when daddy act, come on here now, when daddy's been ill that day, smile at me, somebody. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. But can I tell us something? I wonder what it would be like. Amen. I'm an evangelist now. I mean, my wife, she gets to buying something from Walmart. She bought something the other, about a few months ago from Walmart. It was $36 and a couple of cents, and she pulled out 38 $1 bills. Come on here now. Amen. And that woman said, "Well, ma'am, you must be a waitress." She said, "No, I'm a holiness preacher's wife." Smile at me, somebody. Amen. But come on here now. Amen. We got to get to that place. Amen. We got to thinking there about it. Amen. God in heaven, help us. Amen. That we realize we are the same people. Amen. At home than that we are. Amen. In the house of God. I said all that to say this. I ain't got $100 bill. I got ones. I just told you that. But if I had a $100 bill in my pocket tonight, and when church dismissed, and I went out there on the front porch where your son was, or your daughter was, your teenager was, your young person was, and I pulled out that $100 bill, and I said, "Tell me what daddy's really like at home. What would it be like if I went up to that little girl and said, tell me, amen, how does mama talk to daddy? Amen, after mama's had a bad day. Come on here now. Amen, what kind of stories, amen, would we hear? God, heaven, hell. I've been in churches. I've seen folks before. And some of the best things that could ever happen to those children, they got a good godly mama and daddy. And I said within myself, the best thing that could ever happen to that young boy is if he grows up to be just like his daddy, because his daddy is a great man of God. But at the same time, I've seen some youngins in the house of God, and I said the worst thing that could ever happen to that little girl is if she grew up to be just like her mama. Oh, here, smile at me, somebody. There are choices that we make in our life, and what you must realize is that the choices that you make, amen, the things that you say in your life are going to affect our children. They're going to affect, come on here now, amen, when we get up and we have a good testimony and God's moving on us. You want that testimony to have an effect, amen, to your children and those that are living in the roof under you. Amen, you got to live the same kind of life at home, amen, as we do in the house of God. Give me a Baptist amen tonight. Shout hallelujah, somebody. Amen, but we got to know what good is it if I have the approval of the whole congregation, but I fail as a minister and I fail as a man of God in my own home. What good is it? Oh, Lamb of God, help me right here. I tell you something, mama. Let me tell you something, daddy. Your children needs to see you build an altar at home. Somebody say amen to me right here, would you please? Amen. I tell us young people, amen, we're making choices in our lives. And I realize the day and the hour that we live in right now, amen, that's full of sensuality. Amen. You ain't got to have a television. Amen. We can click on www.whateveryouwantalustafter.com. Amen. Now, amen. Even if we don't do that, amen, there are things, amen, that are trying to catch your eye as you're riding down the interstate. Come on here now. They're on those billboards, and there is always sensuality that tries to bombard us. How much more of us as godly people are to build up a standard within our home, amen, to shelter our children and to shelter those that are around us, amen, from the ungodliness and the perversion, amen, that tries to come our way. Come on here now. There are young people, amen, that face things in their life. Come on here now. I didn't have the face. Come on here now. Hallelujah. Amen. Can I tell us, it used to be years ago, we'd have to, amen, preach there against, amen, those boys, amen, that always try to make the move on the young lady. Amen. And how are we supposed to keep ourselves pure? You can say amen. Y'all, we believe that, right? Keep yourself pure there to that wedding day. Amen. But it's bombarded so much now in the house of God, amen, that we've also got to teach our young boys, amen, when that girl gets fast, amen, that they've got to learn how to say no. Can you say amen to me, somebody? Amen. I remember, amen, I remember when I was in school, amen, as a center boy, we put girls in two categories. At Northampton East High School, we put them in a girlfriend category and we put them in a wife category. And could I tell you, it won't no girl that was worth the salt in her bread, amen, that was ever in the girlfriend, amen, category. I tell you something, I remember there was a young lady there at our school. She was probably about 17 years old at the time. And her name was Jennifer Britton. She was a Baptist girl, Southern Baptist girl, Fundamental Baptist. I remember she came in there, she'd wear those long jean skirts and things. She was a Baptist girl. And she'd come in church, come there in school, there before everything started up, and everybody sitting around talking, everybody in their little groups, you know how it is. Amen. Everybody got to talking, and it came a time there, some of those girls, amen, those wild girls, if that's what you want to call them, amen, got a hold of Jennifer Britton and got to picking on her, amen, and talking about her, amen, because they knew that she was deciding to save herself, amen, until she got married. Come on here now. Amen. They got to calling her Miss Giddy Two Shoes. Baptist. And then they got to calling her Miss Southern Baptist. Amen. There inside of that school. Amen. And I remember that day. Amen. Jennifer Britton, she had a little bob haircut, long dress on there that day. Amen. A little Southern Baptist girl. And I watched her. She walked by and them girls said, "Hey, Miss Southern Baptist just entered in the front door." Amen. And I looked at her. And I saw something that came across her face. Amen. That I had never seen before. She'd always been humble and shy. Never said anything. But she had a little bit too much of what she could take. Amen. That day, they got to calling her names and things, and I watched as she stopped. That little skirt on and tennis shoes. And she turned around. She looked there where those fast girls are. She pointed her finger up at them. And she said, "I can be what you are any day of the week, but you can never be what I am right now." Are you hearing me? And then why was she able to say that? And then because once you make that decision, amen, once you lose that purity, it is a choice that you will have to live with, amen, for the rest of your life. Help me right here a little bit. I'm about to get where I want to preach at here tonight. The Lord began to deal with me about this, and I don't even know why. Amen. But I wonder, amen, how many, amen, in the house of God, amen, that we make decisions in our life and we never consult the Lord about it. Come on here now. We get to that place. They teach us and train us up even as young kids. What do you want to be when you grow up, right? What do you want to be when you grow up, little lady? Amen. And all of it, what we want to be. What do we want to do? Amen. And we start making decisions for ourselves. Come on here now. Amen. And it's infiltrated our lives so much to the place that when we become an adult, it's what we want to do. And we're going to strive for what we want. But what if your will is not God's will? Come on here now. Don't follow that with me right here. Lord began to deal with me about this. And I hope you know I'm not preaching against schooling or college or nothing like that. Amen. But can I tell us something? What if, amen, we've already made decisions in our life. Amen. We've already made plans in our life. We're going to be this. We've already got signed up. Amen. For this amount of school and this kind of training, this kind of college. And we've never consulted the Lord about it. Come on here now. Amen. To see what if God has a different plan. Amen. For our lives. Oh, hallelujah. Help me tonight. Amen. What if, amen, we get to that place and God requires you and He deals with your heart to be a missionary. He deals with your heart to be a holiness evangelist wife or a holiness evangelist. Amen. And we've got so tied up in every other thing. Amen. Come on here now. Amen. Because we did not seek the face of the Lord first. Come on here now. That's just plain old Bible preaching right there. I tell you, when we get to that place and we get to think about who we're going to marry, who we're going to spend the rest of our lives with. Can I tell you something? One old man told me years ago, he said, "Brian Jenkins," he said, "you'll find your heaven or your hell in the person that you marry." Come on here now. I tell you something. I don't know about you, amen, but when we stand, amen, in front of that congregation, and we say, "For better, for worse, in sickness and in health, for richer or poor, until we die." Amen. We got to know that when we make that decision, that is a decision that would affect us, amen, for the rest of our lives. Can you say amen? Amen. The Bible tells us, amen, that we are not to be yoked together, amen, with unbelievers. Can I get a good amen right there? Amen. That lets us know, amen, that we aren't to be married to those or dating those or, amen, or courting those, whatever you want to call it, amen, that are out of the will of God and ain't saved and ain't doing what God has asked them to do. Amen. So we ask ourselves, I understand. And then sometimes there are folks that get married, and they get married, amen, and both of them are a sinner, amen, and then one of them gets saved, and it's a struggle there. But I'm saying here tonight, if you ain't married, amen, and you're praying and you're thinking in the back of your head, "I wonder if this man is the right man for me. I wonder if this woman is the right woman for me." I want to tell you something here tonight. If they ain't saved tonight, it's not the will of God. Hallelujah. Amen. So, Brother Brian, how can you say that? Amen. "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship have light with darkness?" Amen. Come on here now. Amen. That is Bible. It's one thing if that individual gets saved. Amen. But it ain't a whole lot to have to pray about. When that person ain't saved, don't waste your time. Amen. Until that individual decides, I want a true relationship with God. Come on here now. Amen. My sister. Amen. She married a young man. Amen. My sister's 4 years younger than me. Amen. And I remember, amen, that boy wanted to get her. Come on here now. He wanted to marry her. Amen. And I remember my sister was going to church a little bit at the time. Amen. Kind of in and out, but she was searching there. Amen. She started coming to church. Let me tell you what that boy did. That boy started coming to church too. Amen. Kevin. Amen. My ex-brother-in-law. Amen. They're divorced now. He's living in another state. Amen. I'm telling you something. Amen. They'd have service. Amen. He'd be the first one in the altar. Amen. And he was up and out the altar. Not a tear came from his eye. Amen. Not a little bit of conviction on it. Amen. But it wasn't nothing for him to walk down to an altar. I'm preaching to us tonight. Amen. All because there was something in his life that he wanted. Come on here now. Amen. And can I tell you what happened? He fooled my baby sister. I tried to talk to her, tried to tell her. Amen. If he ain't really wholehearted, we don't need to do this. Amen. But she walked down the aisle with him. Amen. She got married to that man. And he cheated on her. 6 months later. 6 months later, my baby sister called me on the phone about 12:30 at night, crying because her husband walked out, amen, and went to town with some other girl that he met at the gym. Come on here now. Amen. Can I tell you something? My sister ain't saved. Amen. But can I tell you something? She's living a life right now. And she's having to live with choices. Amen. That she's made. That's going to affect her for the rest of her life. Can you say amen to me, somebody? Hallelujah. Amen. We got to make sure. Amen. That the decisions that we make are in God's will. I talked to you a lot this week. I ain't going to hold you too much longer. But I talked to you a lot, amen, here this week about my granddaddy. Got to tell you about Dr. Peppers and chicken sticks and how he walks behind the mules and all that stuff. My granddaddy, he ain't a saved man, but I'm telling you, amen, he's old, amen, so he's seen some things and he's learned some things. Amen. I remember when me and my wife, we first got ready to get married, and I came home, amen, there to granddaddy, and I said, granddaddy, I really think I'm going to marry Rebecca Irvin. I said, I feel like I'm going to marry her. That's who I need. Amen. You know what? Granddaddy, amen, he spoke up. Now, granddaddy loves my wife. Amen. If that's any, that's his baby right there. He loves that woman. Amen. I'm telling you, he does. Amen. But granddaddy spoke up and he told me, a worldly man, a sinner man. Come on here now. And then he tried to give me some advice there on marriage. Amen. Letting me know that, come on here now. Amen. My granddaddy and my grandma, he ain't saved. She ain't saved. Amen. But even when my granddaddy was a drunk and he used to whoop up, amen, and treat my grandma bad, they did not, come on here, they didn't split up. Amen. Why? Because they were fearful of the stigma that was going to be there in that area that they lived in. And I'm not saying that if somebody's whipping you up and blacking your eyes that you don't need, amen, to get out and get to safety. But I'm telling you their story. He got talking to me and he said, you know what, son? He said, marriage, he said, is this kind of like flies on a screen door. Worldly wisdom, ain't it? He said, marriage is kind of like flies on a screen door. He said, some are waiting to get in and some are waiting to get out. Now, amen, but can I tell you something? Amen. But we know as holiness people that when we give that vow, we're not only making it to that person. Amen. But we're also making it there before the Lord. I want to ask you, I know maybe you don't want to be single. Maybe you I need somebody. Come on here now. Amen. But what if tonight I want to ask you, what is worse? Amen. To wish you were married and be single or to wish you were single and be married? Come on here now. What's worse, to be single and wish you were married, or to be married and wish you were single? I'll tell you something. I got to talking to a man a while back that I worked with. He was telling me there about his daughter, amen, that was started dating this young man. She said, Daddy, you're going to love this man. And then his daddy's a preacher. He said, it ain't his daddy that I'm worried about. Come on here now. It's him. Amen. But can I tell you something here tonight? We got to realize that there are some decisions that we make in our life that if we just seek the face of God about it, amen, it doesn't matter if that boy's saved right now, even if he is saved. It doesn't matter if he's full of the Holy Ghost right now. It still might not be God's will for you. I'm talking to somebody. Amen. But listen, because God knows what that boy is going to be like 15 years down the road. God knows if he's saved right now and full of the Holy Ghost right now. God already sees, amen, when he's blacking your eyes and breaking your fingers 10 years down the road. Wouldn't it be so much better just to pray and to build an altar and seek the face of God? And say, Lord, I want to know what the right decision is for my life right now. Come on here now. Amen. I've seen people, young folks, make decisions in their life that affected them for all of eternity. The choices that we make in our mind, some of those choices will affect us forever. Hallelujah. I felt like today I was praying. I know it seems scattered, smorgasbord here tonight. But I felt here today, I was praying. I really do feel, I mean, the Lord dealt with me, that there are some that may be among us even here tonight. I know that we've got folks that are praying. We've got decisions we got to make. And I believe there are people in this house that have decisions they got to make. And they are praying. They are fasting. They are seeking the face of God about it. But I really do believe that there may be another in the house tonight that you've already made up in the back of your mind. And you've already weighed it all out. And trying to figure it out in your own reasonings how you're going to make it work. Amen. And you've already made up your mind about the situation and you haven't built an altar yet. And I'm trying to warn you here tonight, it's a choice you're going to have to live the rest of your life with. Wouldn't it be so much easier if we just build an altar tonight and say, God, what do you have in store for the rest of my life? Because we can't see the destruction in the future that God sees. All we see is the well-watered plains. Come on here now. Before you make that commitment, before you get too far into that relationship, why don't we build an altar tonight? Before we make a decision, I feel like it's going to work out. I feel like it's going to be all right. How many would stand with me tonight, right now, with your heads bowed, and with your eyes closed, and you say, you know what, Lord, before I pursue this any longer, tonight, I just want to build an altar. God, tonight, I just need you to speak to me, because there are some decisions that I may make in my life. It's not going to only affect me, but it may affect my children. And it may not only affect you, listen to me right here, but it may affect your unborn, your unconceived children. God of heaven, help us tonight to realize that we can't make a drastic decision without building an altar and seeking the face of God. I wonder how many here tonight, you say, Brother Brian, I've got some decisions in my life. I got some things that I've got to make a choice about. To say, you know what, tonight, during this altar service, I just want to build an altar before the Lord, and I want to see what God has to say about it. All that would, can we find ourselves a place to pray tonight? Let's call out on the Lord tonight.